Let's turn together in the Heidelberg Catechism to question 104, page 58 in the blue booklet. We began a study of the fifth commandment last Sunday, and we continue that today. The fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12, says this: "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And let's read responsively question 104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. We have heard the fifth commandment from Exodus 20. Let's turn together now in the New Testament to Ephesians 6. We'll read the first 9 verses of Ephesians 6. But first we ask for the Lord's light upon our reading. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, minister to us this morning by your word and spirit, that as we study again this commandment, this holy word from you, you would apply it to each of our hearts in our different circumstances, that we might hear your word and obey as we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The word of God, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Much loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's review briefly where we were last week, beginning with the meaning of the fifth commandment. We saw that it is not for children alone. It is for everyone, children and adults, young and old, employers and employees, parents or not, single or married, teachers and students, everyone is to obey this commandment. And remember, too, the meaning of the word honor. The Hebrew Old Testament word for honor means to make heavy. So, for example, someone says, "His word carries a lot of weight." That's the word, honor. What he says is important. That's the attitude we have towards the Lord, towards parents, towards all those in authority over us. What they say is important. We respect them. Obedience to that commandment, then, is simply an outworking of what we have in our hearts toward that person. Disobedience, on the other hand, shows a heart that does not honor or respect those whom God has put in authority over us. So it's not merely a relationship of us with that person. It is connected to the Lord, because the Lord put that person there in authority over us. And then remember the words that G. Campbell Morgan said about this commandment that sheds light on the commandments that follow. Morgan said this, quote, "The importance of the fifth commandment cannot be overestimated, as all the subsequent commands concerning human relationship will be easy or difficult to obey according to the measure of obedience rendered to this one." End quote. So whether we obey commandments 6 through 10 is directly related to commandment 5. If we do not honor others, commandment 5, it is not likely that we will obey the prohibitions against murder or adultery or stealing or lying or coveting in our hearts, perhaps even in our actions. So honor, this commandment is basic to relationships with both other people and with our Lord. What's required then in the fifth commandment? Well, let's look first of all at what is required for parents, and let's expand that to grandparents. We could expand it even to those who do not have children but are models, because children look up to adults. And then let's look at what's required of kids, and then all of us. So parents, first of all. And remember this humbling thought. Parents have all experienced this. When a child is too young to grasp who God is, how great and majestic and loving and gracious and patient God is, they look to mom and dad. What God is to an adult, parents are to children. Lawgivers, the rule makers, the ones who protect them, who provide for them, who love them. So much is required of parents. If we would act honorably, we are not only obeying that commandment to ourselves, but we are teaching the children. So in our dealing with police and neighbors and storekeepers, show honor. Speaking about the mayor and the governor and the president, speaking about the county commission and the state legislature and national congress, put in place there by God to rule over us, let us speak of them with honor. Parents, treat your parents with honor. Treat your children with respect. Christian parents represent God to the children. And the only way we will do that well is if we are joyfully subject to God ourselves. Fathers, you and I have a particular responsibility in our home and to our families. Ephesians 5 says that God calls us to be the head of the home, like Christ is the head of the church. And that is not merely a morality enforcer. It's not the punisher of last resort, where a mom says, just wait till your dad comes home. It's not that. It is rather representing the Lord God and his grace and his love and his justice and his patience in the home. And moms often spend more time with the children than the fathers do. The fifth commandment calls all parents to represent the Lord to the next generation. Husbands, part of loving your wife as Christ loves the church is to pray for your wife. Pray for her as a mother in the day-to-day responsibilities that she might have a special burden in bearing. Then there's more we can do. I want to go through quickly some other thoughts, not an exhaustive list. Let's begin with Deuteronomy 6. Familiar words, perhaps. Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. In other words, live the Christian faith 24/7, not just on a Sunday morning gathering in church, but talking about the Lord Jesus in your homes, relating your faith to modern culture, to what you hear in the news, to movies you watch, to music you listen to. Everything relates to our Savior and our covenant God. Secondly, from Ephesians 6, the passage we read, verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children. Don't push them beyond what they can bear. Don't provoke them by unreasonable demands. But, continuing verse 4, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Shape their wills through proper discipline. Shape their minds through good teaching. Don't leave it up to the church. Don't leave it up to Sunday school. It's pretty clear here. Fathers, this is our responsibility. And then third, fathers and mothers, maintain your God-given parental authority. In other words, remember who the parents are. Practically speaking, that means you decide when is bedtime. You decide what's for supper. You punish when the children are naughty and praise them when they behave. God put you in charge. And when you do that firmly and lovingly, you will see a wonderful thing as the children grow. That authority relaxes and the relationship changes. When our kids were little, we would hear people say, just get through the teen years. Just get them through that to the other side and they'll be okay. And they were so wrong. They were so wrong. Because as our kids grew from little kids into teenagers, the authority could relax and the relationship changed, and we became more of friends than an authority figure. And the parents in my house loved it. Fourth, love your children. Well, of course. Duh. Tell me something I don't know, Pastor. But when you lose your temper, mom or dad, it's hard to love the child because you're angry. It's important that they know you love them no matter what. And as they grow to adulthood and maybe make decisions that you don't approve of, maybe they choose lifestyles that God does not approve of. They need to know that no matter what, you love them like God loves you. Fifth, set a good example. Children will grow to disregard and despise parents when they say one thing and do another. Telling your kids to be sober, but you get drunk. Telling them to love the Lord, but they don't see any sign of it in you. Making promises, but breaking them. The child may show an outward obedience, but a heart will not honor you or the Lord. On the positive side, nothing can bring a child to God better than a parental, godly example. And lastly, pray much for them. Not only when trouble comes, that's easy, but pray daily for a heart for the children who love the Lord, and a life then that shows that love. And one fruit of prayer can be that the child honors a praying parent. Children, what's required of kids? Well, let's look first of all at the Lord Jesus. As a little boy, he was under the care and instruction of parents who weren't perfect like he was, Mary and Joseph. As a little boy, he might have played in the sandbox, sat on dad's lap to read a story, all the things you do except sin. He would have been excited about getting a new bike, except we know that bikes weren't invented that early. He had to come in when mom called him in at night and put away toys like you do. Honor your father and mother. As he grew older, the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And when he was grown, his obedience to Mary and Joseph may have ended, but his honor did not. Remember what he said from the cross? One of his seven words from the cross, he asked his friend, his disciple John, care for my mother. Honor your father and mother. So our perfect model of obedience to the fifth commandment is the Lord Jesus. And by his Spirit, he enables us, children and adults, to obey. Kids, let me give some specific direction to you as well. Again, there's more that could be added, I'm sure. But let's begin with speaking respectfully to and about parents and those in authority. You have heard, and I have heard, words not fitting for Christian children about their parents. So begin with how you speak about them and to them. Then secondly, obey their words. In Colossians 3, just a few pages further on in the Bible, God gives a picture of a Christian household. Colossians 3 at verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Such a home is one where God is present and the people are happy. Happy in their relationships and in their relationship with the Lord. Jesus It is said of him in Luke 2:51, he was obedient to them, to his parents. Think about that. This is the God-man before whom angels fell down and worshiped, made himself subject to his parents. Third, listen to their counsel and submit to their rebukes. Proverbs 1 verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Parents are not always right, but only a fool, biblically speaking, a fool would ignore what they say. And fools who do often work great harm to themselves in matters of dating, of money, of time, of soul, and much more. God speaks to the children through godly parents, and a wise child will listen. And then, lastly, forgive them when they're wrong. Forgive them when they're wrong. The Catechism uses the words, be patient with their failings. My kids had to be very patient with their dad. They had to forgive him often. Every parent knows that. Let me give you one sign of maturity in this regard. One sign of maturity is when you will forgive your parents for not being perfect. Then, what's required of all of us, regardless of age, marital status, parent or no, all of us have parents. So we all have parents to honor. That sounds easy, but maybe for someone here, maybe for someone listening to this sermon on the internet, that isn't easy. Because we all know of parents who did not act honorably. Fathers who abused their children, mothers who berated them. Would that make you exempt from obeying the fifth commandment? No. No. As difficult as that situation is, let's not underestimate the power of God and the grace of God to work in a heart that we can obey as we are forgiven. You know the words from Romans 8, he works all things for good for those who love him. That's not a cheap promise. It's not a band-aid on a heart attack. That is a blood-bought promise from our Heavenly Father who sacrificed his Son that it might be true. He works all things for the good of those who love him. If your parent hurt you, God will grant you special and particular grace to forgive and to believe that God works good in you. Honor your father and mother, something adults as well as children do. Our society, we can all see it clearly, idolizes youth. But Scripture says, pay honor to the aged. So if you now or at some point have a decision to make about care for an elderly parent, make a choice that brings maximum honor to that parent. If your parents have died, you can still obey the fifth commandment by paying honor to them in how you think about them and how you speak about them. And then God's teaching on the fifth commandment goes well beyond parenting. it points to respect and obedience to all those who are in authority over us. First, parents. We looked just briefly last week at church leaders whom God has put in place. But let's think also about the civil realm, police, courts, those elected to public office. And in that regard, Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Obedience to those over us shows obedience to God who put them over us, which is part of the still bigger picture. Our honor and respect and love of others shows honor and love to the Lord our God, to whom belongs all honor. Think about that in relation to why you and I exist. Why are we here? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says. To glorify Him who sent His Son, our Savior, to pay our price on the cross. Who sent His Spirit to work godliness within us. Applying the blood of Jesus to our sin-sick souls. And then righteousness and holiness in our lives. In particular, as we think this morning, the fifth commandment. And then, in closing, let's see briefly the promise to those who obey. Listen again to Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Command and promise. Repeated in Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, neither today's Israel, nor the U.S., nor any other country are God's promised people like the Israelites of old were. According to Romans, it's so much better than that. According to Romans, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual descendant of Abraham and an heir of God's promises. And like many promises made to the ancient people of God, it can be applied to a nation as well as an individual, a nation where godliness would prevail. Imagine what this country would be like, or any country, if its citizens obeyed the fifth commandment. Disobedience to this one, you recall the words of G. Campbell Morgan, disobedience to the fifth commandment is going to produce disobedience in all that follows, stealing and adultery and all of that. Is that not common where we live today? But that nation among whom the sacredness of family is maintained, where children are obedient to the parents when they're young and honoring to them all their lives, will be a nation of strength and a strong country lives long in the land the Lord has given. So we do well to pray for our nation. Pray for families and parents and children within our nation and around the world. And then go home and do what the covenant God calls us to do. Honor your father and your mother with all that that means. and with all his grace enabling us to obey, and with all honor to him uppermost in our affections. Let us pray together. O God, our Father, you who have lavished upon us your grace, you who look upon us with the same love you have for your only begotten Son, work righteousness in our hearts, that we might above all love and honor you, and then that we would obey this commandment to honor our father and mother and all those whom you have put in authority over us for the well-being of our church, of our communities, of our nation, the well-being and the honor and the glory of your holy name. In Jesus we pray. Amen.